This is Doug Miller. How close are you to God? How close is God to you? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with this word in hand, knowing indeed that this word is life, it is light, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we are delighted to be able to welcome you today. Bring your Bibles, come along. We are in the 11th chapter of Job. And I think you will find it very profitable. And so bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Job 11, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the prayers and support of the saints of the living God. Now, let me say something about that. I always say the saints of the living God. If you are unsaved and listening to Dialogue, then you need to get saved. And once you are saved, then you are able really to be of tremendous help to people like me and others who are out here ministering the word. Until you get saved, trying to give money to God or give anything to God, time or whatever, when you are rejecting the gift of God's Son, is something that frankly never made a lot of sense to me. But if you are unsaved, we are delighted to welcome you. And if you are saved, then please pray for Dialogue. And please tell others about us. You're the only advertisers we have or are gonna have. We would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you later on. Now, you might be saying, why do you want to hear from us for? Why? For every reason. It's good to hear from people who are listening, to know where you are, to know what we can do to help you out, any materials that we can provide for you, absolutely free of cost, no strings attached, anything that we can do to help you. And just once again, to know who we're reaching out there. Now, if you would like to email us, it's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page as well. And you can pull that down and listen to the broadcasts free. And that's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. DialogueMinistries.org. If you wish to call and talk to me, we've got a phone, but we've got no secretary. That costs money, and we're not spending money for that. But you'll get a message, and you can leave leave a message for me, and I'll get back with you. Our phone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. I believe that takes care of the preliminaries. And with that, let's get into the Word of God. Now, when we were in here last time, we noticed we were looking at this man Zophar the Naamathite. and what he had to say to Job. And, of course, as with all of these guys, and I've said it before, and here it comes again, look, these men, what they say is not always untrue. They say many things that are true. And the real question is, to what extent have they really entered into these things? One thing is certain, they're not helpful to Job, because none of the things they are saying really get down to what he needs to hear. When we were in here last time, we were looking at Job 7, and we had to stop it kind of too soon there, really. But we were looking at Job chapter 11, and beginning with verse 7, we have Zophar the Naamathite saying to Job, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea." Now, by implication, what Zophar is saying to Job is, you cannot, by searching, find out God. You cannot find out God unto perfection. It's too high, this is too deep. The measure thereof is broader than you can reach. Zophar seems to be suggesting to Job, as I read this, that, look, Job, you're in over your head here. Now, you know, you are here asking questions of God, and the simple fact is you don't know anything about God, and you're not gonna know. Well, look. There would be truth in that. Let me just put it this way. This guy talking to you through this microphone right now, just in and of myself, I know very little about God. For those of you who think, well, you're born knowing about God, you know some things about God. You know generally what Paul says in Romans 1 that you can know. You know there is a God. You know that he is greater than you are and that I am. You know that he is almighty and worthy of worship and is sinless. You may know all of that. But beyond that, you don't know, do you? How do I approach this God? How do I come to him? What is it that I can do that he would find pleasing? What is it that I should not do because it would make him angry? There are so many questions. God is infinite. I am finite. He's somewhere. I'm here. How can I possibly know anything about God? Now, this is the question that Job is facing. And Job is in a great deal of confusion. When this book started, we saw Job, and he seemed to know about God. He seemed to have confidence in what he was doing. And now suddenly the roof is caved in on him. Everything has been taken away from him. And now we have Zophar the Naamathite saying to him, "Forget it, Job. You don't understand God, and you can't." At least that seems to be pretty clearly what is said here. Well, I wish to argue with that. Listen to me. Those of you who are out there, you can know about God. Do you know why? Because God has revealed himself. And I just want you to just kind of hold your place there. And let's go back. And we started in this direction last week, and we had to cut it off. But let's go back and look in the 10th chapter of Romans, and let's see what Paul says about this. If I am going to listen to someone and get direction from someone and be guided by and comforted by and steered along my course by someone, I'd rather have it be Paul the Apostle than this Zophar the Naamathite, wouldn't you? Let's see what Paul says about it. But, and let's pick it up at Romans 10, verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which was preached, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that passage right there out of the 10th chapter of Romans is profound and deep and very important. When Job was suffering through his trials and problems, when he was going through what he was going through, much of the Bible, in fact, so far as I can tell, none of the Bible as we know it today had been written, certainly not the books of Moses. As you heard me say at the first of the book of Job, there's no indication in the book of Job that Job, who was a Gentile, knew anything about the law. He knew something about Yahweh, something about God. He understood blood sacrifice. What he understood of that, or why he thought that it was necessary, I'm not sure. But there was much that Job didn't know at all. There is much that the world today does not know about God. And the people in the world, I am afraid that most of them are in gross ignorance and darkness when it comes to God. This will not come, what I'm about to say won't come as any revelation to any of you, probably because I've said it on here before. But look, if you go out into the world today and just say to people, what does it take to get to heaven? What would it take for you? What would you have to do to make yourself pleasing and acceptable unto God? If there is enmity between you and God, if there is something between you and God, what would it take to take that away? Do you keep the Ten Commandments? Do you live by the Sermon on the Mount? Do you go to church on Sunday? Do you get baptized and join the church? Do you keep the Boy Scout law? Do you try to be kind and nice to people? Do you pay your taxes? And on the list might go. What would it take? At what point do you say, I feel comfortable with God? You see, if you read the book of Job, and we've been up through, and we've got some more to go, but we've been through about 11 chapters now, Job is at enmity with God. Job feels that he is, in some way, some sort of enemy, and he doesn't know what to do about it. Well, what can he possibly do? I don't know what Job thought, but I know what Paul thought. Listen to me carefully, friends. If I am to have peace with God, if I am to be in a position where I can approach God with confidence, God is going to have to do the work. There is nothing I can do. And notice what Paul says in the 10th chapter of Romans here. The word is nigh to you. Don't start thinking, who shall ascend to heaven to bring Christ down from above, or who shall go into the deep to bring up Christ again? The word is nigh. He has drawn nigh to you. He has drawn nigh to you, God, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This word makes it very clear. What does he require of you? Well, look at this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't know what there is about that that is difficult to understand. I don't know what there is about that that anyone that would cause anyone to disagree or to say, well, I didn't get that. Give it to me again. I think that's pretty clear. What does God require of me? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let's look down at the 13th verse of the 10th chapter of Romans. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How about that one? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Paul goes on and says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? See the faith that's necessary here? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel has gone out, friends. Let's now go on back to the book of Job, and let's look at something. We here, those of you who are listening to me, have something much better than anything Job had. This gospel has gone out. You have heard it time and time again if you've been listening to this program. What are you to believe? How are you to be saved? It is by faith. By faith in what? In the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Job doesn't know any of this. Job has a very limited knowledge of God. He has far less than any of us do today. He's in a lot of trouble. And he doesn't know the way out. Let's read on. Let's pick it up in Job 11, verse 10, and see what else that this Zophar has to say to Job. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain man. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. Well, that's good enough advice. The problem with Job is he doesn't know what he's done wrong. He doesn't get it. You know, he looks at himself and he says, let's go on and see what else here, still in verse 14. And let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles, for then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. All right. Now, we read this, and everything, and I want you to notice that everything that Zophar the Naamathite has said here hinges on a proposition or an instruction to Job. It hinges on the idea that Job is involved in sin and wickedness and evil, and that what he needs to do, looking back at verse 13, is to prepare his own heart, and to do that by putting iniquity away and getting rid of all wickedness and evil. And then he can, as it were, lift up his face and everything will be fine, and he'll get over all of his problems. And then the final admonition here, the wicked shall fail and they shall not escape, and so on and so forth. I wonder, I know that once again I've said this on here before, but I just wonder if there is anyone out there listening to me who has had an experience like mine before I was saved. Before I was saved, through a series of events, I came to understand that I was a sinner. Now, I won't, you know, I could go into telling you how this happened and everything, but it's not necessary. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says Romans 3:23. There is no doubt about this. I came to understand this, and when I understood it, I understood that I was at enmity with God. Some of you out there, if you are unsaved, you may never have considered this at all. It may never have occurred to you. You may be walking around out there thinking that everything's fine with you, that God's not going to do anything to you because you're a pretty good person. Well, I came to the end of myself. My problem was there was nothing I could seem to do about it. The harder I tried, the worse things got for me. I was utterly and totally at a loss. Now, here is Job. Job understands that something is wrong. He doesn't understand what it is. This guy that's talking to him, Zophar the Naamathite, is giving him advice that may or may not be good, but it's missing the mark because Zophar is making assumptions that he cannot back up. Notice this, Zophar thinks he understands what's going on with Job. There stands Job, the guy who's under the gun, and Job doesn't understand it himself. Zophar can talk all of this stuff that he wants, and it's not going to make any difference because Job is in the dark. He thinks of himself as separated from God, and what Job doesn't understand and cannot pick up on, yet he will, is that he is right in the hand of God. God has not left him for a moment. God is watching everything that he's doing. God has put him in the oven, and he knows when to take him out. Think about it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.